1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. I hope he shows up. The words of Vice President Harris after getting word that former President Trump had agreed to the September 10th ABC News debate he'd previously agreed to when President Biden was topping the ticket. Trump also pushing for two more debates.
The debate, one of three that Trump agreed to during a Mar-a-Lago press conference, his first public appearance since the debut of the new Democratic ticket.
I look forward to the debates because I think we have to set the record straight.
Trump challenging Harris to accept the other two proposed debates.
ABC's Selena Wang, the Vice President said she'd talk about more debates after Trump shows September 10th. 15 Republican-led states sued to stop the Biden administration from allowing 100,000 immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children to enroll in what's derisively referred to as Obamacare. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordering hospitals in that state to report health care costs incurred by undocumented immigrants. This is ABC News. Oh, the things they keep finding for AI to do at the University of Michigan.
Researchers made recordings of 74 dogs in various situations and fed it into an AI-based computer algorithm and then asked,
can we tell from the sound they make what is the situation they are in?
Professor Radha Mihalcha says the algorithm was right about 70% of the time. The potential benefit?
Having now access to these other forms of intelligence.
And the vet's office of the future may have a microphone and laptop in the exam room to help with diagnoses. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Russian Chess Federation is investigating Amina Abakarova, multi-time winner of the Dagestan Classical Chess Championship. She's accused of trying to poison an opponent's pieces. No word on what substance was used. She was apparently caught on video. Abakarova has been suspended while police investigate. She could face a lifetime ban on top of whatever charges might be filed. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says he'll ask for more money in the next state budget. He told a legislative study committee Thursday the state needs to increase its investment in its public universities if they're going to stay competitive. Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the country in supporting four-year schools. Primary election day is Tuesday. There are bilingual ballots for those who need them, Brittany Merlot explains.
In Marathon County, some Spanish-speaking information is given to voters. But if a non-English speaker needs additional assistance to vote, some exceptions can be made. First, they can bring a translator with them, all the way to the polling booth. This person, though, cannot be a boss or an employer. And if you speak Hmong, you can go to the Hmong American Center in Wausau. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers sweep the Braves.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A long game, but an incredible finish. The Brewers beating the Braves in Atlanta today, 16-7, to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. During the series, the Brewers outscoring the Braves 34-12. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Just playing good more than one day, you know, like playing consistently pretty good like we did the last few days. That's especially against a team that's as capable of, you know, they've, like us, they've been crushed by injuries.
The crew hitting six home runs in five innings. Next, they head back home and open up a weekend series tomorrow night against the Cincinnati Reds. NFL, Packers getting ready for their game against the Cleveland Browns, their first preseason game, and it'll be without their first-round draft pick, Jordan Morgan.
He had a shoulder. He'll be out for, it's nothing long-term, but he's going to be out probably for a week or so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. An earlier start time, kickoff 3:25 Saturday afternoon at Cleveland. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies. Our lows will drop to the lower 50s. West winds will be light. On your Friday, more clouds on the way. Highs near 70 degrees. Breezy northwest winds. More sunshine Saturday. Highs in the lower 70s.
It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Nepo Baby adjacent Lara Trump shares her thoughts on Kamala Harris's qualifications to be president. Oh, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show today. Very excited. At 10:33, right after the news, at the bottom of the hour, we are going to be talking to New York Times best-selling author Andra Watkins. And Andra grew up in a Christian nationalist household, and her education was very much in that vein. And I saw a podcast with her and Scott Dworkin that was just fascinating, because she has insights about the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. So if you are interested in learning more about Project 2025, which, yes, they're still trying to run away from, and we'll talk about that at about 10:20, but it's going to be a very interesting conversation. It should be fascinating, if not a little frightening.
Frightening, but yet I can't wait, because I grew up in a Catholic household, and that's not a Christian nationalist. And no. I want to see where I was raised to, where it's just a different level.
Well, there are considerably different interpretations, I would say, and definitions.
Oh, absolutely.
That they apply, that I think the vast majority of us do not. So yeah. That's Andra Watkins coming up at 10:33. 11:33, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will be here to talk all things sports balls. And then we'll wrap up, as we usually do on Thursdays, with weather and wine with Civic Media's Brittany Merlot. Find out where we're going to be heading for the weekend. Looks like we've got a pretty nice stretch of weather, at least. So Brittany will have more details coming up with that. First, though, wow.
Right.
Wow, Eau Claire and Western Wisconsin. Holy cow.
As you're talking about this, I'm watching a video on Twitter of the crowd.
Oh, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
What was happening, Jane?
There was a rally yesterday in Eau Claire.
A rally, you say?
Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, campaigned yesterday in Eau Claire, and then they stopped in Detroit. And I would say that the Eau Claire crowd was bigger than Detroit, although Detroit they filled an airplane hangar.
They had to move it to the airplane hangar.
Because the response was so big.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from you if you were there yesterday in Eau Claire at 855-752-4842. I know we did have a caller yesterday who was frustrated because they tried to get there and they kept closing down roads and people walk 2 miles.
Yeah. If you have pictures, text them in.
We would love to see them.
Yeah. We'd love to see what was going on. I mean, all the pictures look joyous and fun and, you know, a good time. It was, and kudos to anyone who went. I mean, it was 6 hours of waiting. Pat Kreitlow went to the show. Pat Kreitlow went to the event and he came back with a nice red face.
I bet. So, it was hot.
Yeah.
Todd Alba was there.
Yes.
And so if you have any impressions from Eau Claire yesterday, we would love to hear them. Just give us a call. Send in a text, 855-752-4842. Like you said, Greg, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, this is in the Washington Post, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is joyous about the joy. Quote, all the things that made me mad about those other guys and all the things they do wrong, the one thing I will not forgive them for is they tried to steal the joy from this country. But you know what? You know what? Our next president brings the joy. She emanates the joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And as I was watching it, because I did watch it live yesterday, I was just struck by the difference in tone between the Trump-Walz campaign and the Harris, I'm sorry, Trump-Vance campaign, whoopsie, and the Harris-Walz campaign.
Yeah.
Harris-Walz are joyous and positive and forward-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see anyone in T-shirts with profanities on them directed at Trump-Vance.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice.
It's refreshing, isn't
right?
it?
That was kind of a nice touch not to have be there. Or have little kids walking around in T-shirts that say Joe and the Ho.
Yeah.
Which I've seen at Trump rallies. There were no people turning around flipping off the press.
Yeah.
It was just a happy, positive, forward-looking event.
Yeah.
And in Detroit as well. What do you think, Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see this live, but I didn't even hear it, to be honest, but I heard hearsay that the crowd started a lock him up chant and Kamala said, no, yep. We let the courts do that.
Yep.
Which I think is a good message, but I think is a little annoying because I think lock him up is a fair sentiment.
It's a fair sentiment, but I have an addendum to that.
Okay.
Because for years, GOP fans have been screaming, lock her up. And they're talking about Hillary Clinton or anyone they don't like.
Pretty much.
But mainly Hillary Clinton. And it was based on zero crimes, zero evidence, zero. It was
after years of investigations.
Exactly. Millions of our tax dollars spent on investigations. So lock her up, moot, redundant, dumb. But you know what, folks? If you want to go to these Harris-Walz events, say this instead. Lock him up because he's been convicted on 34 counts of felonies. Lock him up. It doesn't have bounce. It doesn't. I know, but it's truthful.
It is truthful.
It's truthful.
Doesn't flow necessarily.
Are you saying I don't have pizzazz,
no,
Jane?
No, I think you got Riz.
Oh my God. Oh
I,
no.
I know you got Riz, baby.
Kids, your word is dead. It's dead.
It was just a welcome thing to see. And you brought up that she kind of stepped on that with the lock him up chant, which made me happy because, yes, we're going to handle that in the courts.
Correct.
The other thing she did is she pretty effectively handled a heckler when she was in Detroit yesterday.
Correct, yes.
And they went off at her a little bit, and she just essentially said, look, keep saying that if you want Donald Trump elected as president. Otherwise, I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't tell other attendees to get him out of here, take him out, be a little rough with them if you have to. I'll pay your legal bills. Mm-hmm. Remember those?
One of my friends was one of those people who's gotten, they were assaulted at a Trump rally.
Seriously? Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was assaulted at a Trump rally. So I know this very well. And those individuals who were heckling her they were pro-Palestine, and there is controversy with, they're trying to paint Tim Walz and Kamala Harris as anti-Israel, and then you got pro-Palestinian people there. So it's kind of walking that thin line. But she said, and you've made this point before, I understand what you're saying, but if you want any results, go ahead and vote for Donald Trump and see what you get.
Oh, Donald Trump, well, no. It would be so much worse
exactly.
for the Palestinian people. I genuinely believe that. What is happening over there is tragic.
Yes.
And horrible and horrific.
Yeah.
Donald Trump would do nothing to make that better.
No, he just not wouldn't. At all.
There's also a couple other interesting comparisons between Trump rallies and the Harris-Walz rallies.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hot yesterday. It got really hot, and people were waiting outside for hours. And so someone started to have problems with heat.
Yeah.
And as Tim Walz was speaking, this is what happened. Calvin, let's play that clip.
Look, freedom is when freedom is, oh, can we get somebody to help? Somebody's hot. Somebody's hot. Can we get somebody to help? You okay? Drink some water, folks. It is hot out. Get somebody up. Thank you.
You get water?
Thank you all for helping. Grateful. Thank you. Thank you all. Take care of one another on this. This is why we gather. Look, it's hot. It is hot. I'll come again. They've got folks here. We'll make sure we're okay. But I have to tell you all again, in all seriousness, to come and gather like this, to talk about our freedoms, the ability to talk about what could be good. And I have to say, this idea of caring for our neighbor and kindness and a hand up when somebody needs it, or just the sense of that people go through things and to be able to be there when they need it, that's who we are.
I wanted to make clear that I had to edit that down to less about a minute, because it was almost 2 minutes with there was silences because he was not doing the speech. He was making sure this person was being taken care of, and he had his priorities straight. And I believe he believes it, what he said at the end, which is about helping each other and
looking out for each other.
Yeah, it's just very important. That's not so much the tone from a Trump rally in Las Vegas in June, is it, Jane?
Well, he did pause.
He did.
He did pause.
Yeah.
When someone fainted at his rally, because again, it was in Vegas. It was Nevada. It was really, really hot.
That was probably around the time it was like 150 degrees every day.
Yeah, it was crazy hot. So yes, during Trump's speech, someone had some issues with the heat. He did pause, but then continued making this comment. Kelvin, let's play that clip.
If anybody gets tired, you let me know. And if anybody goes down, if you start going down, we have people, they'll pick you up right away. They'll throw water. You know, they were so worried. Everybody was so worried yesterday about you. And they never mentioned me. I'm up here sweating like a dog. Secret Service said, we have to make sure everyone's safe. I said, what about me? Oh, we never thought of that. They don't think about me. I'm working my ass off. I'm working hard. This is hard work.
For one thing,
yeah,
dogs don't sweat. That's why they pant.
Yep.
Just thought I'd point that out.
Also, how would it feel to be a Secret Service agent and just him saying they don't worry about me? That's all they do. And this is before the assassination attempt.
Yes.
So that's not a factor. But Secret Service train. All day, every day scenarios to protect the president. People are in charge of taking bullets for the president. So for him to just be like, they don't worry about me. That's all they worry about, bro.
Well, and it just always comes back to him.
Yeah.
It's always about him.
Nobody worries about me.
And his needs and his ego.
I'm not important. Did I just unlock a Trump? After 6 years, no one knows about me. I'll work on it.
And he's just a little.
A little work.
All right. Runaway from Project 2025 edition. What are we on now? Three or four?
They're trying to run away. It's like when you dream and you're in water and you can't run. You're just like, this is the GOP right now with Project 2025.
We will kick that around next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Waukesha boys there, Dabodines.
Oh, I was like, where are you going? Yes.
Dabodines.
Dabodines.
Dabodines. Missed them, loved them, saw them in concert. They were great. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to remind you, next Tuesday, the August 13th primary, very important election. Even though there might not be anything sexy going on in your district, there are two constitutional amendments that will be appearing on everyone's ballots. I will be voting no. I don't see the need to give Robin Voss, the popcorn king, and his buddies in the Wisconsin legislature more control over money, especially emergency federal money, so they can just sit on it and gavel in and gavel out during yet another crisis.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. But we're going to be talking about more about that. There's a really good editorial in the Cap Times today about these constitutional amendments. So next Tuesday, make a plan to vote. Be a voter. It is cool to be a voter.
Be cool.
And then after the election things wrap up, we will have all the results starting at 8 o'clock across Civic Media. So that is next Tuesday, August 13th. As we mentioned, the running away from Project 2025 just never seems to end. We've talked about Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts. He is one of the main architects of Project 2025. And he had a book that was supposed to come out. I thought it was supposed to come out in September.
What happened to that book, Jane?
They have now delayed publication, Greg Bach, of the upcoming book until after the November election.
Why is that, Jane?
Because people don't like Project 2025 once they find out what's in it.
Yep.
The book is called Dawn's Early Light, Taking Back Washington to Save America. Originally, it was titled Burning Down Washington.
Correct. Yep.
To Save America. And guess who wrote the foreword to the book?
Was it a vest-wearing, name-changing billionaire tech bro who happens to be the senator from Ohio and vice presidential nominee for the GOP?
You mean J.D. Vance?
I got it in one guess.
You
oh, my
did.
God.
You did.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was going to guess Peter Thiel, so I was.
You would not be far off.
I mean, honestly, aren't they all just pumped out of the same lab?
Pretty much, yeah. So J.D. Vance wrote the foreword for this book, written by Kevin Roberts, talking about what a great idea it is to push a radical overhaul of the federal government, giving the president power to fire career civil servants and replacing them with political loyalists who essentially have no experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big surprise, because Media Matters, I believe, got an early copy of the book. He attacks contraception. He attacks all contraception, actually. They shift norms, incentives, and choices. The destruction of a culture of hope. Because people get to choose whether or not they want to be parents. Kevin Roberts says in his book, technological changes make having a child seem like optional. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also, this is one of my favorite parts. Roberts sees signs of decay in America, including the proliferation of dog parks.
Yeah, I don't claim to be the smartest person on earth, Jane. I have a college degree, and I can cut hair well. But I don't understand that.
Too many dog parks, Greg Bach. Because
yes.
Kevin Roberts says it's a result of anti-family culture shaping legislation, regulation, and enforcement throughout our sprawling government. So apparently we're forcing dog parks into communities and forcing people to adopt dogs.
They tried to open a dog park in my living room. I'm like, get out of my freedom right now. Like, can someone lead me? Okay, so there's the thought in the book. There's the idea. Dog parks are destroying America.
And people are adopting dogs because they don't have children.
I demand your notebook, sir, where you started the concept and then worked your way down like a really cruddy game of chutes and ladders to that idea. Because conservative listeners, they're out there. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Can you make that make sense to me? Do you agree with that? I know some of you are dog owners. I'm a dog owner. I don't understand that at all.
I'm no longer a dog owner, and I am pro dog park. Of course, I am a childless, dogless, catless lady.
Yeah,
So I really shouldn't even have an
I don't
opinion.
Think you should be talking at all, Jane.
I know, I shouldn't.
Why is my coffee not full? I'm just kidding, everyone. I would never speak to Jane or any of the women like that in my life. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
And then Washington Post has this article. Trump took a private flight with Project 2025 leader in 2022.
Yep.
Hanging around with Kevin Roberts, shared a 45-minute private flight with the Heritage Foundation president. Trump said they're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movement will do. So don't tell me you don't know what's in it. Even though I know Trump has never read it, it's over 900 pages. I didn't read the whole thing. I, however, was not looking for pictures.
I am not in the game of defending the former president and dear leader of my uncles. But let's also come to the realization that not only did he not read the book, but I guarantee you he wasn't listening to Kevin Roberts as he spoke either. So there is a small kernel of possible truth that he doesn't know about it just because he doesn't care. Now,
that doesn't mean it wouldn't be implemented should he be reelected.
Exactly.
Because trust me, the man does not have policy proposals of his own.
Oh, absolutely. And I think he knows about it. I'm sure people have talked about it. At this point, people have talked about it, but I'm sure it's always in passing in his brain, and he's thinking about the other thing that's coming up or what's going on with his life or lunch or his daughter or something else. But, like, I do not see Trump as the great thinker. The Sith Lord behind, that was a Star Wars reference, behind Project 2025. But it is funny for him to be like, I don't know anything about it. I'm like, dude, do you not know anything because you're lying or because you weren't listening? Make up your mind.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kevin Roberts.
Yes, indeed.
And the Heritage Foundation with our next guest coming up after the 10:30 news. Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household.
Yeah.
And she has some very interesting perspectives on the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. I'm much looking forward to this.
As am I.
And by the way, Anne from Chippewa Falls, listening here on WAUK, says, please promote the movie on Prime called Bad Faith.
Yes.
Tom from LA has mentioned that as well. And I did watch it. It is on Amazon Prime. Absolutely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Called Bad Faith.
Okay.
Check it out. It'd be a good idea. All right. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. I hope he shows up. The words of Vice President Harris after getting word that former President Trump had agreed to the September 10th ABC News debate he'd previously agreed to when President Biden was topping the ticket. Trump also pushing for two more debates.
The debate, one of three that Trump agreed to during a Mar-a-Lago press conference, his first public appearance since the debut of the new Democratic ticket.
I look forward to the debates because I think we have to set the record straight.
Trump challenging Harris to accept the other two proposed debates.
ABC's Selena Wang, the Vice President said she'd talk about more debates after Trump shows September 10th. 15 Republican-led states sued to stop the Biden administration from allowing 100,000 immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children to enroll in what's derisively referred to as Obamacare. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordering hospitals in that state to report health care costs incurred by undocumented immigrants. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans are moving ahead to replace the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in downtown Madison. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The state has approved plans to buy the current Wisconsin Veterans Museum building on the square for $9 million. The state would essentially be buying it for the property because the plan is to demolish that building. In its place, they'd construct a state-of-the-art five-story new Veterans Museum. This is just step one of that plan. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Dates for next year's Summerfest in Milwaukee are set. The big gig will be Thursdays through Saturdays from June 19th through July 5th. It'll be the 57th edition of Summerfest. Thanks to a new partnership with the Northcott Neighborhood House, Juneteenth programming will be offered for the first time. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here are some weekend movie suggestions. The Blake Lively film, It Ends With Us, is a romantic drama receiving mostly good reviews. It Ends With Us is adapted from the novel of the same name by Colleen Hoover. Borderlands is a sci-fi adventure about an intergalactic bounty hunter with a sketchy past and a ragtag team of misfits that are charged with saving the galaxy. The film is based on one of the most popular video games of all time. The film is pulling a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you might want to steer clear or hope you're in the 3%. And if you're looking for a movie about lip-syncing before it was cool or even accepted, check out Girl, You Know It's True, a documentary about Milli Vanilli's meteoric rise up the music charts, which culminated with three number one hits, none of which they sang. The biopic takes a good look at what the lives of Milli and Vanilli were like before and after the fall, and it's pulling a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies. Our lows will drop to the lower 50s. West winds will be light. On your Friday, more clouds on the way. Highs near 70 degrees. Breezy northwest winds. More sunshine Saturday. Highs in the lower 70s.
Right now, it's 55.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in, Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's Southwest Wisconsin reporter extraordinaire and showbiz fan, Stuart J. Waddles, and it's a bar band Friday as we welcome Max Inc. Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Ooh. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times best-selling author. She also has a great Substack about Project 2025. I am so excited to have you here. Andra Watkins, good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Jane and Greg. It's good to be here.
I saw your podcast with Scott Dworkin, and it just blew my mind because you have such interesting insights about Project 2025 and the influence of Christian nationalism on it. And that's really why I wanted to get you on the show, because there are so many different avenues of this, and you just bring an insight that I have not heard before. So thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about your background and what it was like as where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in rural South Carolina. If you can't tell by my talking, I've never lived out of the South. And so my parents put me in a Christian nationalist kindergarten starting when I was five. They joined that church. And so I went to a Christian nationalist school and church for 13 years through 12th grade. It was affiliated with Jerry Falwell Sr.'s Moral Majority movement in the 70s and 80s. So the indoctrination that I undertook, that my parents gave me, was a Christian nationalist indoctrination. We used textbooks from Bob Jones University. I was taught that America was founded as a white Christian nation, like they say today, that the founders were all Christians, which was not true, but that was what was in my history book, that the slaves were all happy on the plantation, you know, because this was South Carolina.
Oh, sure.
And so that's what I learned as a kid and what I believed into my 30s. So I started undoing that. I had a falling out with someone in my life in my early 30s and started questioning things, started reading different history books and biographies of different founders. And it was really shocking to me how much I'd learned as a child that just wasn't true. So that started my deconstruction journey that lasted 10 or 15 years. It takes a long time. It'll probably take the rest of my life to undo all these knots of this indoctrination, but it took a long time. And so when I picked up Project 2025 last year and started reading it, I didn't really think I'd be captivated by it because it's a brick and it's very boring and it's not written to be read or understood.
Exactly.
But several pages in, I looked at my husband and I said, there are Bible verses buried in this text. And I read some of it to them and he said, well, I never would have gotten that out of it. And none of the media was talking about any of that. They were doing these very wonkish articles about what it would do to the government and all that's important. But I thought, we really need to be talking about all the Bible verses and the Christian nationalist dogma that's buried in this document. And nobody's doing that. So in January, I started my Substack, How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life, to talk about it from that perspective. At that time, I was probably the only person who was talking about it that way. And I was calling it this Christo-fascist manifesto to transform our government from a democracy into a theocracy. And people would be like, isn't that a little hyperbolic? And
yeah, we hear that. We hear this so much that you're overreacting. You're overreacting. No, it's not.
Yeah. And now a lot more people are calling it that. And so it's good to know that my work has bubbled up and has influenced a bigger conversation about Project 2025, because it's a conversation that we need to have.
It blows my mind, first of all, that your books were provided by Bob Jones University. I mean, did they teach you that the Earth is like 8,000 years old and that man existed with dinosaurs?
Or 6,000 years old.
Six, eight, you know, at the most 10,000 years old. So my science books were all creationist science books as well. Yeah. So I've had to give myself a huge re-education as an adult.
I was telling Jane before we went on the air, I was raised Catholic, baptized in the church, Catholic school from first to 12th grade. And I know that, you know, if you identify as being a part of a Christian nationalist, you know, organization, you most likely think I'm one of the first people to go to hell.
Yes.
And, yeah. And the notion that, you know, I guess my question is you identify the school as a Christian nationalist school. Do they openly behind closed doors, call themselves Christian nationalists? Because I feel like that is a term that is fairly new in the zeitgeist of America. And people still don't wrap their brains around what that actually means, because they think Christian nationalist and they don't understand what the whole menu entails.
Right. So Christian nationalism is an academic term. I don't really like it, mm-hmm. but I started using it because it's become what we call this group of people.
Yeah.
I like to call them radicalized Christians. But they do have a belief system that's very specific that I distilled down into 6 or 7 beliefs on my Substack. So they believe that America was founded as a white Christian nation, and that all the founders were Christians and the Constitution meant for us to all be Christians. They believe that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God, and they interpret it literally, hence the creation story and teaching science the way they do. They believe that the Bible is God's perfect law and that everything humans needed to know is contained in the Bible, which is one reason why they hate science and expertise so much, because so much of that is outside the Bible and all we need is the Bible. That's what God meant for us to know about everything. But it should underpin our laws. So they believe that if man passes a law like allowing abortion, that they believe the Bible forbids, which it doesn't say anything about abortion, but they still teach that it does. They have a responsibility that God calls them to change that human law and make it match their interpretation of God's law or the Bible. So you see that playing out in red states, in red state legislatures with supermajorities. In our Congress, there are over 100 known Christian nationalist legislators. They also line up well with white supremacists, because in my church growing up, I was taught that black and brown people were cursed by God because of some story in about Noah in the Old Testament. And that is what Southern plantation owners used to justify enslaving people before the Civil War. So even though the South lost the Civil War, a lot of the preachers in these churches didn't stop teaching this story about Noah and why it was okay to discriminate against black and brown people because they were inferior because God cursed them. So they line up so well with white supremacists because many of them are white supremacists. They're also taught that they are never to compromise on God's word being perfect and infallible and the law. So they make terrible politicians. And we see this playing out in Congress where they just dig in and won't compromise on anything. They have to have their way 100% of the time because anything less is not obeying God. And so having people who have that kind of thought process where they're using their Bibles and things that they believe about the end of the world, for example, to make foreign policy decisions, isn't really what we want to be electing to make decisions for all of us.
If you're just joining us, Andrea Watkins is our guest. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she is also author of the How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life Substack, and we will include links to her website and also to your Substack in our show notes, Andrea, once the show is over. It takes about 45 minutes for Greg to get it all done. He does a great job. So look for that. There's so much to unpack here. And I guess I want to start with these Christian nationalists like the Old Testament a whole lot better than they do the New Testament, right? They're very pro-Smite.
Yes, they worship angry, vengeful Old Testament God. They pay lip service to Jesus. They talk about Jesus dying on the cross to do away with all that. But they really worship Old Testament, vengeful, smitey, hateful God who destroyed whole cities because somebody made him mad in them and that kind of stuff. So there is a group in the fringe right of this that's becoming more mainstream that actually believe that we should be doing biblical punishment.
Stonings
for adultery, yes, and similar. And they will say with a straight face, the Bible is the only way we should be exacting punishment on people. In fact, Christian nationalists believe that the government is set up to be God's avenger on wrongdoers. And so if they control the government, then they get to be God's avengers. And I started talking about that verse and that belief several months ago, and my jaw dropped open last week when I picked up the Atlantic and McKay Coppins had written a piece about all the prayers at Trump's rallies that he'd been able to get. And the thing that he closed with was them using the government is God's avenger and we will be your avenger on America's sin. And, you know, they really do believe that if they can get control of the government, they can turn our nation back to God and make our country behave the way the Bible says we should.
I promise you, I'm not saying this to be funny, but this makes a TikTok I saw where someone superimposed the faces of Trump and Vance and all these people onto the face of the Avengers. I'm not kidding you. And like, as you're saying this, Andra, I'm like, oh my God. I thought at first it was dumb. It was dumb. But like now I'm like, oh God, this is the Bible. Oh my God.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
There's just so much, Andra. I'm so glad. We may have to keep you for several hours.
I can come back anytime.
That would Wonderful. Be great. That would be great. Let's talk about climate change and conservation and the end of the world. So as I see it, these Christian nationalists are really looking forward to the second coming, and they're really looking forward to Armageddon. And so therefore, why should we worry about climate change or poisoning our water or poisoning our air? Does that all kind of play into the same thing?
Yes, and that's part of how they make decisions for all of us in government capacities using their Bible. So there are two different schools of thought in Christian nationalism about this apocalyptic end of the world. There's the school of thought that I grew up in, which is there's going to be an Antichrist and an Armageddon that's going to happen in this valley in Israel. And Jesus is going to come down from on high and smite the Antichrist, and all the Christians are going to live for 1,000 years on this new earth that God creates. They believe the clock started ticking for the end times, the last days, in 1948 when Israel was regathered as a nation, which is why it's so important to them that Israel exists. It's why Trump moved Yes. our embassy from Tel Aviv Mm-hmm. to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem. Yep. So they use this Bible prophecy to make major foreign policy decisions. And nobody talks about that. So there is that rule, that piece of thinking, which I grew up in, which is we're living in the last days. So why do we need to save the earth? We're only going to be around for 10 or 20 years. You know, that generation Mm-hmm. from 1948 is somebody's supposed to be alive in it for this to happen. So we don't need to conserve anything because God's going to destroy it all in a few years anyway.
And Andra, I'm going to stop you. I have to stop you right there because we got a break coming up, but we're going to continue this conversation. Okay. Stay with us. And Cindy, I see you on the line. We'll take your call right after this very, very short break. Andra Watkins is our guest. Don't miss it. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to talk about minimum payments on credit cards. Now, those wily rascals at credit card companies make it pretty easy for us to pay our minimum payments. But are minimum payments good for us or good for them? Let's take the average American amount of credit card debt, $6,000, and the average APR, or interest, which is 22%. Now, if you pay that off at $200 a month, which is the general ballpark minimum payment, it's going to take more than 3.5 years and cost an extra $2,800 in interest payments. But if you ignore the minimums and pay it off at $400 a month, you'll pay your debt off 2 years faster and $1,800 cheaper. Minimum payments keep you in maximum debt. For more practical money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates that we continue to call Twitter. If you're just joining us, she is a New York Times bestselling author and also the author of the subject called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. Andra Watkins is here. I'm so glad to have you here, Andra. If you can spare the time, we have news coming up at 11 o'clock. We'd love to keep you on and do another about 15 minutes if you got the time.
I've got the time.
Wonderful. Cindy from Appleton has been waiting very patiently. Thank you for waiting, Cindy. What did you want to say?
Well, this is a little off the climate change topic, but I am reading the book called The Storyteller, and I just read the book called The Resistance Women about the Germans and their ethnic cleansing of the Jewish people. And I think Project 2025 is setting us up for another massive ethnic cleansing of one particular or two particular races of people, and it scares the bejesus out of me.
Well, and I thank you, Cindy, and I think a lot of people should be scared because, as Greg pointed out, if you do not follow this flavor of Christianity, you're not part of the good guys, right, Andra?
Right, right. I mean, this is the Christianity that they want to force everyone to live by. Now, there is a Catholic version of this, the Opus Dei guys and those people. And then there's a Protestant version of this that Mike Johnson represents as an example, or Mike Pence, you know,
right.
They're that version of this. So, you know, if they manage to gain power, they're going to have their own holy war about whether Catholicism or a Protestant strain of this Christian nationalism will be our national religion that they'll try to force on everyone.
I've thought about that because, again, Opus Dei, that's Leonard Leo. Leonard Leo is the Federalist Society, and the Federalist Society picked Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh to sit on the Supreme Court. So that would be a very interesting holy war to see who was going to come out on top on that. We have a comment on the text line from Laura, listening on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you so much for having Andra on the air. I've done a lot of research on the rise of Christian nationalism in the last decade for my college papers. It's so important for people to hear about their connections to this. It is. It's not hyperbolic. We're not hyperventilating over nothing. This is, and I think Project 2025 will stay alive even if Trump isn't elected. They're not going to throw this away. This is their long-term goal, no matter which Republican would get elected.
This is going to work. This project is going to be the manual for the state houses. This is what they do.
It already is the manual for the state houses. I do a regular series called Project 2025 happening now. So abortion bans are Project 2025 happening now. So are book bans. So are transgender bans. Mm-hmm. And in South Carolina, our major teaching hospital just stopped providing transgender care to children and adults over something our very red state legislature put in a bill in May. So they're doing everything they can to implement Project 2025 in red states, Florida and Texas especially, are really great states to look at to see how far along they've gotten already into forcing people to live in this Christo-fascist theocratic version of government.
Well, and think about, this is the Christian version of Iran.
Right. They're the Christian Taliban.
Yes.
People get upset when I say that, but it's the only way I know when they're talking about stoning people for adultery. And I mean, this happens in Afghanistan. That's the kind of extreme punishments that the Taliban meets out on people. So it's not far-fetched to think that that's how these Christian nationalists would govern.
Well, and it's like, those are their good old days. The good old days when you could stone people, you know, let's go back to that. It was great.
Let's be clear. I don't think they're going to be stoning a lot of men for adultery either.
Well, there's that.
So,
Right.
So, Andra, it seems like, you know, as I said before, Christian nationalism, that term has really made its way into the news, the zeitgeist. We hear it all the time now, and it wasn't that 5-10 years ago. If you did, it was in a documentary or, you know, like a TV show or something like that. But it's now made its way into the Senate. And I wanted to reference Josh Hawley, who the Montana senator, who said simply,
Missouri.
The quote, "Some will say I'm advocating Christian nationalism. So I do. My question is there any other kind worth having?" I mean, now it's just, to use a phrase that's been overused now, which is he's saying the quiet part out loud because they don't care if anyone hears it, because they feel that so many people are on their side, and they have God on their side, apparently, that they can just be open, brazen about it and just say, yeah, this is Christian nationalism because I'm a Christian. This is a Christian nation. They go on and say everything you just said, and they just get to stand back and no one holds them accountable for what that entails.
And what that means.
Yeah.
Well, but it's still, you know, he made those comments to a friendly group. So they don't get on the floor of the Senate necessarily and talk like that. But they do have their own language. And that's part of what I deconstruct on my Substack so that people can understand when they say pornography should be outlawed and everyone who produces it and consumes it should be imprisoned. And teachers and librarians who give pornographic books to students should be registered sex offenders. They're not just talking about Pornhub. They're talking about art with nudity or partial nudity. They're talking about the smut romance novels I love to read with all this sex in them. They're talking about many, many, many films that come out of Hollywood that would have physical contact between sexes in it. They're talking about homosexuality and other things. It's much bigger.
Well, pornography, and I believe you said this when you were talking to Scott Dworkin, pornography to Christian nationalists is anything that makes them think about sex.
Makes Mike Johnson think about sex. Yeah. That's how I talk
about
it.
Anything that makes Mike Johnson think about sex is therefore pornographic. So we're not just talking, like you said, Andra, about Pornhub or, you know, movies of pornography. This can have a massive wide range about music and books and performance art. The list goes
pictures,
on.
Pictures of women in swimsuits would be porn. And Mike Johnson's app on his phone that he uses and shares with his son flags pictures of women in swimsuits as pornographic.
We are going to continue our conversation with Andra Watkins right after the 11 o'clock news. Stay with us. If you have a question for Andra, you can call, you can text 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will welcome Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOB's World, with a week in review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day... Go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.